You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Peltoncast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are coming to you from Renton, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks.
And by popular demand,
yes,
we come to you with a special arena Peltoncast to talk through kind of what happened earlier today with this Chris Hansen Group proposal, Sonics Arena proposal. Do you want to start with what happened today?
Yeah, so this proposal from the Soto Group led by Chris Hansen offers to redevelop Key Arena into three music venues: a 6,200-seat, primary concert venue, a 3,000-seat outdoor amphitheater, which would be undercover, and then would kind of lead out towards the Seattle Center campus and the fountain and the Fisher Green and all of that, and then also a smaller, more intimate 500-seat theater. And it's really kind of an incredibly innovative proposal in terms of how it uses the existing Key Arena architecture, the existing roof, which has been declared a historic landmark and therefore has to be a part of any proposal for renovating Key Arena. They would actually be using the current upper bowl is the seating in the amphitheater, and then, there would be new seating since it would be outdoors, but and then in the indoor arena. And so what that allows them to do is they'd move the floor of this new theater substantially up from where the Key Arena floor currently is, because that's underground. So you'd be able to just walk in and go directly to your seats, which you can't do at Key Arena. You have to go on steps now. And also that would allow them then to construct a 500-plus car garage underneath Key Arena to help with any parking concerns in the local neighborhood. And then, the other big thing about this size of a venue is it wouldn't bring the same kind of transportation issues that are a worry if you are to renovate Key Arena into an NBA NHL arena with, capacity of 19,000-20,000.
Yes. So the big issue with the Soto proposal that Chris Hansen was proposing was the question of what do you do with Key Arena? And basically Chris Hansen is answering that question for the city here.
Yeah, that was a big problem to be solved out here. And I think a major reason why they were so interested in looking at a renovation of Key Arena into an NBA NHL venue. In May, Ed Murray told the Seattle Times, the mayor said, "When the Soto proposal was put together by my predecessor, one of the unanswered questions was, what are we going to do with this place? If it can't be used for an arena, you have to redevelop it for something, because right now we're just paying a lot of money to band-aid it together. So it's costing the taxpayers money right now." And the solution that had been put forward by the AECOM report that looked at possible options for Key Arena as part of the memorandum of understanding for the Soto Arena, the option that they outlined is potentially being break even or positive in terms of revenues for the city of Seattle was a $150 million renovation into this sort of more intimate theater space that the Soto Group is proposing. Intriguingly, they project to be able to, their projections indicate that they'll be able to do it for less money. They're projecting $90 to $100 million cost of this, but they would be privately financing it. No money would come from the city. And where I think that becomes really important is, so previously when we talked about comparing the Soto project to the Key Arena renovation, basically the question you had to ask yourself was, is the tax benefit from the Soto plan relative to the Key Arena renovation going to bring in enough money to make up for whatever it would cost to renovate Key Arena? And we'd pointed out at that point that, it could potentially use the historic landmark tax credits, towards that project.
And would this still be, is this still part of this Chris Hansen proposal?
What I have heard is that it's not specifically part of it, but it would be eligible for those tax credits in the same way. So, basically, it solves the problem for the city now. I think there are still some financial questions to be answered here in terms of, they said that they would pay a lease to the city for the venue and then retain concert revenues, which was how they would make money off of this proposal. It remains to be seen what that lease payment would be and how it would be compared to what Oakview Group has proposed to pay or will propose to pay in leasing a redeveloped Key Arena for NBA NHL.
But part of the Oakview Group, there is a chance that there could be public money involved in that proposal.
Well, I mean, there's public money involved in both of them. So in neither case is there public financing involved. What there is, you know, certain tax rebates or, you know, places where tax isn't collected, including the admissions tax. And the analysis that was done by the University of a professor at the University of Washington suggested that the tax benefit from SOTO would be much better for the city as compared to the tax revenue from the original proposal from the Oakview Group. Now, the question that still remains to be seen here is what the final terms of the memorandum of understanding between the city and the Oakview Group for this renovation are going to look like. The expectation is that we'll see that final document next Tuesday, September 12th.
Interesting. So coming very soon that we could have a little bit more clarification there.
Yeah, which is, I think, probably makes sense with the timing here, that it's sort of, things are starting to happen. We're getting into a different stage of this arena process. So I think the first thing that we should state here for the record is, you know, we don't know yet what the Oakview proposal is going to look like. So I don't think you can definitively state at this point that the SOTO Arena proposal is better than the Oakview proposal until we see what that final proposal looks like. But again, to reiterate, this removes a significant obstacle, a significant argument against building the SOTO Arena in terms of what happens to Key Arena at that point.
Well, and also you were talking about this report that the professor from the University of Washington did and said that the city would make good money from a SOTO Arena.
Yeah, I believe the estimate was, you know, using some assumptions, and these assumptions, you know, are up for debate and could be changed. I think it was about $30 million in city taxes, and then there's also some other sales taxes and things like that that would be felt at a county level that would also be benefits for SOTO.
And so with what Chris Hansen is proposing today, they would get that plus a most likely to be profitable Key Arena and a solution for what to do with Key Arena, a functional Key Arena.
Yeah. So again, they have to compare what that lease payment would be under this proposal as opposed to the Oakford proposal. That's also part of the financial element of this, but it puts it on a much more level playing field. And it really, I think, puts the onus now on the memorandum of understanding with the Oakview Group to be substantially more favorable to the city than the original proposal from the Oakview Group was.
And do you think that's why this is coming out right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that timing makes sense. This is about when the, you know, city council is going to start looking very seriously at the memorandum of understanding with the Oakview Group, which they have the responsibility of voting on and approving. And, you know, I think that the SOTO Group wants to give them a much more difficult choice than it might have been otherwise.
And so what would this mean for Key Arena in the meantime also?
Well, in the mean, you know, in the immediate meantime, nothing.
Okay.
So the plan would be that they would not renovate Key Arena into this smaller venue until after they had built the arena in SOTO. And I think that's another feature here, because that allows Key Arena to be used as an interim venue for an NBA or NHL team if one of them is acquired before the SOTO Arena is built, or, you know, in the alternative case, earlier than would be possible with a Key Arena renovation, you know, based on that they originally hoped to have that done in time for the 2020-21 NBA and NHL seasons, because of postponing any construction until after the NCAA tournament in March 2019. I think realistically, we're not looking until the 2021-22 season to be able to have one of those teams here. And obviously, the NHL is far more likely to come in the in that time frame than the NBA is. But, you know, in that case, an NHL team, if one relocated as opposed to being an expansion franchise where that timetable might be a little longer out and you probably would just delay it until the opening of the arena, that would allow them to play at Key Arena for a couple of years while the SOTO Arena would be built.
So you're saying that, let's say that just Key Arena was renovated, right, by the Oakview Group, they wouldn't have a place to put the team while they were doing the renovation?
No, I mean, it would have to be hypothetically the Tacoma Dome, I suppose, and I don't think that would be considered up to standards.
So with this proposal that Chris Hansen just made today, it would mean that they could obtain an NHL team as soon as next season, two seasons from now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's still a lot of groundwork to be laid, but I guess hypothetically, as soon as the 2018-19 season, if the street vacation and this plan were approved.
And could have them be playing at Key Arena until the Soto Arena was finished, move to the Soto Arena, and then start renovation on Key Arena into this concert venue.
Yes, that would be the, that would be the thinking.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's all completely logical from that standpoint.
Wow.
And so, of course, in fitting Seattle politics, the Office of Economic Development, which has been overseeing this RFP and the Key Arena renovation, immediately released a statement disavowing any interest in this proposal from the Soto Group. So let me read this statement from Joe Mirabella from the Office of Economic Development. In January 2017, the Office of Economic Development issued an RFP soliciting ideas for the future of Key Arena. The city received two strong proposals from Oakview Group and Seattle Partners, AEG, by the deadline. Those proposals were reviewed by city staff, the community, and outside experts against the following criteria. Provide a world-class arena, the arena, to attract and present music, entertainment, and sports events, potentially including NBA and NHL events to Seattle and the region. Provide for project design and arena operations in a manner that integrates with and enhances connections to uptown and adjoining neighborhoods and aligns with the urban design. Provide for design, permitting, development, demolition, if applicable, and construction of the arena, the project, with minimal city financial participation, which of course the Seattle Partners plan did not do. Provide for the continuous, successful, sustainable operation of the arena as a world-class civic venue with minimal city financial participation. Provide for mitigation of transportation impacts due to project construction and arena operations. Provide project construction and arena operations in a manner that is equitable for workers and consistent with the city's race and social justice initiative. Provide for project design and arena operational integration with Seattle Center, contributing positively to the vibrancy of Seattle Center. Oakview Group's proposal was the strongest of the two, so they were selected. If the Soto Arena Group was interested in redeveloping Key Arena, they should have submitted their proposal during the RFP process, which would have shown a willingness to work with the city on the project. They did not submit a proposal and continue to show no interest in working in partnership with the city. We are well underway in negotiating a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, with Oakview Group and plan to transmit the MOU to Seattle City Council shortly. We are excited about the future of the Seattle Center Arena and grateful private investors are committed to investing more than $500 million in a venue designed to attract the NBA, NHL, and outstanding music and entertainment.
But, okay, so first taking this on its face, before we talk about what it means exactly, could the Soto Arena Group have submitted a proposal at this time?
Well, they could have submitted a proposal, but it would not have made sense to submit this proposal because it was not consistent with what the RFP requested, which was an NBA and NHL arena. So that really does not make sense as a criticism.
Because they're not interested in developing Key Arena for the NBA and NHL. They're interested in making a sports arena in Soto.
Yes, they have a contract with the city, a memorandum of understanding of their own to do.
They're basically saying, wait, okay. So I guess talk about this, what this means. But what this response from Joe Mirabella is basically saying is that this MOU doesn't matter, but this RFP does matter.
That's essentially the position they're taking, which is interesting considering that, again, the MOU does not allow them to vote on a Key Arena redevelopment until after it's expired in December, which is one thing that the city is working around currently. I think continue to show no interest in working in partnership with the city is a perplexing statement because that is precisely what they have offered to do, is work in partnership for the city and have offered them. I mean, they talk about they're grateful that investors are committed to investing more than $500 million in a venue. That's exactly what the Soto Arena Group did. They already did that. They did that 5 years ago. 5 years ago.
And a lot more.
And now they're offering $100 million more. And you're just, so look at me. Oh no, we're good.
They're really just throwing money at the city of Seattle.
I mean,
every other city should be so desperate for this situation to happen, where you constantly see cities paying tons of money for arenas, and Seattle now has a person who's willing to not only pay for the entire sports arena themselves, but also make a music venue from an albatross arena that they have.
So look, to go back again to what I said earlier, we can't conclude that the Soto Arena proposal is better than the Oakview proposal to renovate Key Arena because we don't know what that proposal is yet. We won't until next Tuesday. But what we can conclude is to get the best possible deal for the city of Seattle, the city should be considering all its options. And this is absolutely should be an important factor on the table right now. To completely rule it out because of your arbitrary timeline... There's not, it was not like written in stone tablets that it has to be done by your timeline. You created the timeline.
Yes.
So, I mean,
they just made up a timeline with restrictions that did not allow the Chris Hansen group to submit a proposal. Because if they would have submitted a proposal, this proposal, they would have said that it doesn't meet the criteria.
Right.
So there was nothing that they could have done during that
I believe this is referred to as a catch-22. I think that's the expression okay, that describes
this. So most importantly, what does this letter mean? And does it matter?
I mean, it certainly matters. But here's what I would say is, you know, if you read the Seattle Times today, Jeff Baker's piece makes it seem as if this entire proposal was dead hours after it was submitted.
See, the Seattle Times piece does?
But here's the thing. The Office of Economic Development does not control the decision on which site for an arena. They can't pick that. That is the sole discretion of the Seattle City Council, which will have to vote to approve this memorandum of understanding with the Oakview Group to redevelop Key Arena. And if they choose to do so, would have to vote on the street vacation, which is the final step in the process towards building an arena in Soto. Although, you know, there may have to be a new memorandum of understanding now that the Soto project is privately financed. So, you know, in the event that the Seattle City Council votes down the Key Arena renovation MOU and votes in favor of street vacation, the Office of Economic Development is not going to just sit there and like fold their arms and be like, we're not participating in this. Like, no, obviously that's not a realistic approach for them to take. The other factor that's at play here, which is worth noting, is, you know, the Office of Economic Development, it's reporting to the current mayor, Ed Murray, who will not be the mayor as of 2018. We have the election coming up in November. And, you know, well, Carrie Moon, one of the two finalists, has so far indicated her preference for Key Arena renovation. Obviously, that was before this aspect of the proposal. The other candidate, Jenny Durkin, has not expressed a preference either way. So we don't know how, you know, their positions may impact things. I don't think that they would come in undue in agreement with Oakview Group to renovate Key Arena if that were completed by the end of the year. But if this timeline drags on, or, you know, in the event, like I mentioned, that they do decide to vote against the memorandum of understanding, vote in favor of a street vacation, then certainly at that point, it would not make sense for the mayor to stand in the way of this project that had been approved by the city council.
Well, and I also don't think, as they're leading up to this vote in November, if they were to say, look, this proposal came after the RFP deadline, we're not even going to look at it, I don't think that would be a very good look for them.
No, I don't think so.
This is something that Ed Murray can say, because really, this is from the mouth of Joe Mirabella, but this is an Ed Murray perspective, correct?
I mean,
not like the office.
It wouldn't say anything inconsistent with what Mayor Murray thinks.
But the Office of Economic Development is not this rogue office that is functioning completely outside of him.
Certainly not.
And for them, he's looking at it from what he has in front of him, which is these next 3 months, right? But for them, they have to look at getting elected. So their perspective may be very different on the issue. Also, the Seattle City Council's perspective may be very different on the issue.
Yeah, and again, they're the ones whose opinions really matter. And that's why, as we move forward here, you know, I think the most important thing that you can do if you feel strongly about this issue on either side in favor of the Key Arena location,
comment on Twitter.
Yeah. Or in favor of the Soto location.
We want some fire gifts.
Is to contact the Seattle City Council. And I've linked on the post note to, you know, as part of the Seattle Growth Podcast, Professor Shulman put together a list of suggestions for what to do when contacting your council member or the two at-large council members, most of which are pretty common sense, you know, not threatening them even in terms of your vote. I think it's important to be respectful to everybody involved in this, but also state very clearly why you favor whichever side you favor and why you think it makes more sense for the city. I mean, I think, and, you know, that's the kind of feedback that is going to influence the city council. I mean, what we know is the last time around when the street vacation was voted on in 2016, it was an extremely close vote, 5-4. The situation has changed a lot on both sides now, with Key Arena renovation is a viable alternative, but also now with the Soto offer being substantially more favorable to the city than it was when they voted on that street vacation. So, you know, I think there is really the opportunity to go in there and make a difference if you do so in a respectful, you know, measured way.
Do you have an answer or a guess of why Edmure would feel so strongly about this.
Well, you noted in that comment I read earlier about Kiarina, he referred to it as the proposal negotiated, put together by my predecessor, who he didn't even name Mike McGinn by name. That's how much respect he gave him. He views the Soto proposal, I think, pretty clearly as something that's part of McGinn's legacy. And he views the possibility of getting this key arena renovation done. He's talked about the importance of solving this arena problem and getting teams back to his legacy as a mayor. And I think, you know, that it seems pretty clear that he views key arena as his project. And that's, I think, part of the focus and insistence on getting that done without considering the alternatives. Now, I have a question for you. Obviously, you know, you bring the music background to this podcast. Where do you think these venues would fit into the Seattle music scene?
I mean, I think they would be hugely important, right? It reminds me a little bit of a complex in Columbus, Ohio, called Express Live LC Pavilion, and basically a large indoor and outdoor venue that can kind of do both for what you're looking for.
Get you a venue that can do both.
But right now, in this capacity, in the 5,000 cap range, there aren't a lot of options in Seattle. It basically comes down to WAMU Theater, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And WAMU Theater is not a music venue.
Right. It's an event center.
It doesn't really sound particularly great. It's very large. The way that it's set up for a music venue is not particularly natural. You have kind of football bleacher seats in there, right? But there are a lot of artists who have to play there just because it's the only game in town. So you've got that, or you have playing at the Paramount two or three nights in a row. If there was a venue at that capacity that sounded really good and could feel really good for fans, I mean, looking at these images, these look like nice venues.
Yeah.
This is not, we've got a large space, let's make a music venue there. And I think that the 6,200 cap venue is something that Seattle needs desperately. There are a lot of artists in that range.
What about, is there a comparable outdoor venue?
In the 3,000? No, not at all. I mean,
but even like a seated venue.
There's Marymore Park, which is a 5,000 cap venue, but it's also in Redmond.
Yeah.
You know, it's very different. And really, for the city of Seattle, it'd be good to get that money here. That's money that's leaving the city of Seattle and going to Redmond. And also, it's a pain in the ass to get to Redmond for like a 7 o'clock concert.
Yeah.
And they still, I mean, they have a very good music series that happens there, but it would be even stronger if it was in the heart of the city, having that happen. But then also having the 500 cap theater is very interesting, because even, I mean, I can say that Seattle is a very difficult city to book shows in because there is so much competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost shocking how difficult it is to find shows in Seattle, because venues just aren't available. So having something else that's competing in that mid-range even would be pretty amazing, and be able to grow artists from the smaller level to the 3,000 cap to hopefully the 6,000 cap. It would be pretty amazing to have.
That's quite interesting.
I mean, it would be a very unique venue in Seattle, and it really is something that is not available.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that as much as the financial aspect of this, kind of the designs that the Soto Arena Group put out should be part of what gets people excited about this plan.
And the Foo Fighters playing there.
Wait, what?
Do you think they have the Foo Fighters or logo and the photos? Do you think they talk to them when they do that? I'm always fascinated. They're like, is that okay?
I mean, I guess, you know.
Do you think Dave Grohl is down with the with this project, with the Sonics Arena project?
I don't know. Is he friends with Brett Barry?
But the other thing is that some of the larger concerts that would be at Key Arena will not be here, obviously, because it's not going to hold 13,000 people. It's not going to hold the larger cap. But there's also three stadiums right there in Soto can hold these.
The idea is those would go then to the Soto Arena.
Yes. And so once it reaches that level, I mean, you could do two nights at a 6,000 cap, or they could just play the larger venue that will be available on most nights, especially during the summer.
Yeah. All right. So the other bit of interesting news on the NBA ownership front. So we heard earlier this week that local billionaire Tillman Fertitta would be purchasing the Houston Rockets from Leslie Alexander for $2.2 billion after Alexander put them up for sale earlier this summer. And a bit of a surprising move. That will be the highest price ever paid for an NBA franchise, exceeding the $2 billion that Steve Ballmer paid for the LA Clippers a couple of years ago. And, you know, it just continues to show what a great time this is to own and potentially to sell an NBA team, because this is the first to change hands in a couple of years. And the last two that have changed hands, the Clippers and the Atlanta Hawks, in both of those cases, those sales were kind of forced under duress of varying degrees in those two cases. And the possibility that might come up now is, will more franchises get sold as owners try to cash in on these high valuations right now, you know, particularly in the wake of this one? And the interesting one to watch at this point, I think, is the Memphis Grizzlies. So the Ringer had a piece today pointing out that something that had been reported originally by Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe last year in a piece on ESPN.com, that minority owners in Memphis have the option of triggering a clause in their ownership agreement where they can name a price, and then the majority owner of the team, Robert Pera, will have to decide either to buy them out at that price or let them buy the team, his stake in the team, at that price. So that's probably going, because of the fact that the team is worth so much more now than it was when it was purchased, I think the odds are that clause will be exercised and we'll see some sort of movement one way or another in terms of Memphis ownership.
It's almost like Neymar. So you're saying that the minority owners would name a price of $2 billion?
No, it probably would not be that high for a franchise in Memphis. I mean, that's the interesting thing about this clause.
But a franchise...
Well, that's the interesting thing about this clause is, if you name a price that's too high, you'll have to buy the team at that price. If you name a price that's too low, you'll have to sell the team at that price. So it's a very tricky valuation if you're going to do this.
But we can feel pretty confident that if they did name a price that was high, there would be people who would be interested in buying that team.
Well, they would buy it. I mean, I think the question would then become,
would they sell the team?
Yes. Now, Memphis at this point is in no danger, I think, of leaving the city at this point. Back in 2012, when Pera was originally buying the team and this group, there was a lot of good reporting from the Memphis Commercial Appeal about the lease agreement between the Grizzlies and the city of Memphis to play at FedEx Forum, and noted that a move is prohibited before 2021. Now, there is a clause, another clause that could be triggered where...
All sorts of complicated clauses.
Yeah. If average paid attendance falls below 14,900 or sales of the largest 64... I don't know what the exact figure is, but something related to sales of the largest 64 suites in the arena, and then club seat season ticket sales of 2,500. If they fall below any of those marks in the 2019-20 season, they could then break the contract in 2021, although it would still be very expensive at that point. It would cost $63 million to move the team, and then it kind of declines from there.
I mean, what did Clay Bennett pay? $75 million to move the team, did he not?
I think you only ended up paying $45 million for that, right?
Basically nothing. So you really got screwed on that deal. But those are clauses related to ticket sales, where if there was potentially an outside owner and the people of Memphis saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a long time to go before that point, but just, I think, something to keep an eye on there. So we will see what happens with the Grizzlies.
Okay, so what does this mean timeline-wise? To come back to this proposal from Chris Hansen, what happens next?
Well, we wait and see what happens with the Memorandum of Understanding next week, and then that will go to City Council.
If they come back with a proposal to build an arena in SoTo.
Yeah, that seems unlikely. So that will go to City Council, and really, like I said, pretty much everything is in the hands of City Council now. As soon as that memorandum of understanding is delivered, the mayor's office, the Office of Economic Development, will have done everything they control in this process. So it will then be up to them to compare the Key Arena renovation option to the potential SoTo Arena option.
And that's the City Council you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I think my expectation at this point is still that the Key Arena renovation proposal is the leader at this point, but the possibility of, you know, this news today, I think, enhances the SoTo Arena's chances. It makes things more interesting.
Where things were looking pretty dead maybe as of a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know if I would use the term dead, but they were looking like a long shot at that point. So it will be interesting to continue to watch. And of course, we will continue to have complete coverage of this issue on the regular episodes of the Pelton Cast. But for now, thanks for listening to this special edition.
Thanks.